The new federal chief information officer, Tony Scott, inherits a government-wide IT budget of about $81 billion. He also takes over at a time when federal agencies are ramping up their cybersecurity spending and digital services operations. Karen Evans is executive director of the U.S. Cyber Challenge and former eGov administrator at the Office of Management and Budget, and thinking about some priorities for Tony Scott as he takes over. Your predecessor in the eGov slot, Mark Forman, told me over the weekend, Karen, that he thinks Tony Scott is a terrific choice for this job. When you go into a situation like this, though, where you only have 2 years left, how do you look at taking priorities and figuring out what gets a lot of attention and what doesn't, Karen? Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. You know, with his background, because he has a strong operational background, 35 years, it is a good choice. I agree with Mark. It's a great choice. Because he won't have the issues of really understanding how the technology works, right, or how you have to do a lot of things. And he already probably knows what a lot of the government priorities were based on his background. So if you look at where he worked and what the government is doing, it is a really nice matchup. Like, for example, cloud first and moving things and making the decision of what is going to move into cloud services with VMware, he knows exactly how all that stuff should work. So looking at agencies' implementation plans and really making the president's priorities a reality in the next 2 years, he really will be able to scrutinize those plans and do things like portfolio stats that'll be very meaningful.
I'm struck by the discussion around Ashton Carter and his selection to become Secretary of Defense, and as I mentioned, that should be happening sometime fairly soon. Some folks are saying, well, Ash Carter only has a year really to accomplish anything because of the lame duck syndrome and the idea that he will really only get his fingerprints on 1 year of the defense budget. Does the same thing apply here, or is it a different animal because it's a different animal?
Well, I like to think that information technology is very bipartisan, so the types of things that you're putting in place would live on beyond an administration, because to have good, for example, when you're really looking at what services should move out the cloud, what shouldn't, or how do I manage the risk because of cybersecurity and those types of things, that isn't going to necessarily change with the next administration. The next administration is going to build upon that. So a lot of the work that is going to be done by the agencies will continue on because it's always built upon. It's never like taken down and restarted like when you look at a program. Like I think a DOD is a big program. And so the way that you manage some of those priorities would be different than when you're doing the support structure to make those program outcomes a reality.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but my sense was and my recollection was that when Vivek Kundra came in and succeeded you, there, of course, politically, there are some things that you say we're going to do differently, and you want to. I understand all that. Operationally, though, and even in some cases, I guess strategically, there were a number of things that maybe it was only internal, but they said this is working pretty well, and we want to continue doing that because it's working well. And that gets to what you were talking about a few minutes ago about bipartisanship. How did you go about doing those things, and how did you go about conveying them to the transition team so that they could see the value of some of the things that you started and not feel like they had to reinvent the wheel?
Well, a lot of it has to do with you want really good agency efficiencies, right? So it doesn't matter what administration comes in. They're going to have to run networks. They're going to have to deal with cybersecurity issues. They have to make IT investments. They have to have infrastructure, email, all of those types of things like that. And you really don't want to have to spend a whole lot of time reinventing that, but you don't want to have the big proliferation. That's why you had data center consolidation, right? And then that's why Vivek moved them and had cloud first strategy. And then you had the data strategy and open government and those types of things about putting your data out there. And that changes the way that you put together the underlying services there while you're trying to gain the efficiencies. But how you do certain other things like, you know, what services like mobile first, that you have to adapt to that, right? Because that change, that technology is ever changing, so you have to adapt to that going forward. So, you know, in the next administration, Internet of Things, where everything is going to be network capable, you're going to be looking at those things. But the fundamentals are still always going to be there, and you want those basic things to work well in an agency while you're focused on those resources for programs.
The private people have emphasized, and as we've done it, other news outlets have emphasized the private sector experience. You very eloquently, I think, explained a moment ago why his private sector experience, since it's closely tied to the federal government with VMware, will help him. Your former colleague, Norm Lorenz, is going to be on the program tomorrow, but Norm interacted with him quite a bit, as did Mark, when they were in government. So it's not just like, well, he's been at VMware for the past couple of years and that's his experience. He's been interacting with the very highest levels of information technology professionals in the government for a long time. So he has a pretty good sense, it seems like, of what he's walking into.
Oh, sure. And he doesn't, and from that, you know, vantage point of looking at it from industry side and the interactions, because he was also at Microsoft and then at Disney and, you know, a bunch of those other things, he's very familiar with the operational challenges that CIOs face in department and agencies. Now, some of the complexity is learning the specific policies of what you can and can't do, say, for example, in procurement or data management issues. That would be different within the federal government versus private industry, but that's why he has a strong career staff in OMB and then out with the CIOs in the department and agencies. And so they would help him in that one gap, but by having the strong operational experience, you know, he can really discern through a lot of agency implementation plans and say, yeah, you know, this is realistic. Yes, you can get to that in this time period and really push the agenda forward.
Well, and it strikes me, too, he has the same advantage in that respect that Mikey Dickerson has, which is when that excellent career staff comes to him and says, well, this is why we haven't or can't do it that way. He has the ability then to go to the President of the United States and say, can you believe this? And potentially to get something done about it.
Oh, absolutely. And then because of where he's at, making the policy changes or making any kind of changes that are necessary in order to complete those plans, you know, that's why OMB has always been a really key role, because all those statutory offices come together there on the management side. And, you know, they've been moving out about, okay, let's, how are we actually going to make sure that we can get these plans, you know, really institutionalized, because like you said, it's the last 2 years and they're the right things to do to make the government more efficient. So as you get those in place and as things transition in the next administration, those plans will continue to be executed until such time that the next leadership comes in.
You and I talked on a number of occasions about a list, and I don't remember if it was written down or if it was in your head, but on January 20th, 2009, I guess it would have been your last day at OMB, you kind of reviewed what you had accomplished and compared it to what you wanted to accomplish. Is that the same kind of exercise that you would recommend to Tony for him to undertake on January 20th of 2017 to figure out whether he did what he wanted to do?
Well, it's always nice to go back and look. I mean, I had specific things that were handed to me that I needed to accomplish, that were started, and I needed to complete certain things within the administration's time period. And then when you come to an end of the administration, you really categorize, well, what did we accomplish? What things did we get done? You know, how did we move this forward? And then you have to hand it over to the transition team. So I think it's a natural function of the job, especially if you're in there all the way to the end.